Yesterday, the government launched and announced and published the draft National Planning Statement, which is to radically change national planning policies in relation to rural and Gaeltacht areas. The guidelines are changing the approach, trying to bring consistency, changing the issues around housing need, economic need, one-off rural housing, the ability to build a second property on your own land if you're downsizing, and a number of different issues. We talked in detail about them yesterday on the programme. Lots of you had strong views, some on either side of it. But this morning we've got the Minister for State for Local Government and Planning, John Cummins, with us on the line. John, good morning to you and thanks very much for talking to me on the programme. Just first of all, what's your view really on the reaction to the sweeping changes, if they do get the go-ahead of these draft planning guidelines?
Good morning, Gerry, and good morning to your listeners. Well, look, what we set out yesterday as a government and what I've been working on with colleagues right across government over the last 6 months or more is to put a draft national planning statement in place that will reflect the realities of rural Ireland. We want to ensure that we have a clearer, fairer and more consistent approach right across the country. So whether you're from Waterford, where I'm from, or whether you're from Kerry, where you are, Donegal, or right across the country, that the same rules apply and that we don't have an air code lottery, essentially, where people can get planning for a reasonable property in rural Ireland on one side of a county border and can't get it on the other. So it's about consistency, it's about fairness, and it's about ensuring that we support our rural communities, support the local GAA club, support the local town and village, support the local school. And that has been to the forefront. When I was down in Kerry meeting with my Fine Gael colleagues, with Senator Mike Connelly and all of my council colleagues, they were emphasising that to me, and I've picked it up right across the country when I've been around the country since becoming Minister of State 15-16 months ago. So I think the changes that we're bringing about here are reasonable and fair and have been, I suppose, welcomed by the vast majority of people.
Okay, a number of the changes bringing in will like the social needs side of it in a rural location, you can get that if you're a person who's living in or has lived in a rural area for a substantial period of time, at least 7 years. Also, if you're starting a business, you have an economic tie. Does that allow for people to make that decision to say, I want to move to a rural area and I want to start a business, maybe start a family?
So if someone has a rural generated housing need, either through that social connection, because they've lived in an area predominantly for 7 years at any point, that can be cumulatively or consecutively, or that they have an economic need, prior to these changes that are in the draft statement, they would have been quite strict in terms of farming, agriculture. We're broadening that horizon now to ensure that we capture people in that economic need who are providing a service within that local rural community. So the likes of teachers teaching in a local rural school will be able to demonstrate that they have an economic need to live in that rural community, support that community, the GAA club, the school, as I've said. So we are expanding that criteria, and we're also removing anomalies in the system, the likes of, blanket bans on appropriate infill backland ribbon development, and ensuring, as you said at the top there, that we provide for people who may need to right size within their community, may have medical needs, their two-story property is no longer appropriate for them, that they can build a smaller house in close proximity to their existing one, so that they can remain within their communities, the communities that they've grown up and grown old in.
Yeah, and is that a 90 square meter limit on the second property for downsizing? Is that what's envisaged?
It's 90 square metres, yeah, and it's envisaged that it would be a level access property. So it's a modest size property. Obviously, people can avail of exemptions, which I'm bringing forward as well in terms of extension to properties. But the intention is that it's a small, modest property to allow people to right size within their community so that they don't have to move into, city, town or a village in order earlier to be able to right size, because their housing need would have been met previously under the current guidelines.
Okay, what about timelines here? These will be subject to environmental assessment under all the EU directives that are there. There'll be a public consultation process that'll take a couple of months. After that, they'll need final approval. There may be amendments brought. What are your hopes? Or will this? Is there a danger this will get held up in regulation?
No, it's clearly set out now what has to occur. So we published the draft statement yesterday. It'll go through a full strategic environmental assessment now over the next number of months. It's envisaged that we'll have that complete, and that the national planning statement will come into force before the end of the year. Under the Planning and Development Act, the changes that I'm bringing forward and have brought forward in the previous act, all local authorities will have to amend their development plans to ensure it is consistent with the new national planning statement within 3 months of the national planning statement being finalised. But the national planning statement, when it is signed off before the end of the year, stands in its own right. People will be able to apply based on the new national planning statement. But obviously, I don't envisage that any local authority will be consistent with the new national planning statement, because there are fundamental changes, obviously, which we've outlined some of them there in the programme.
What do you say to the critics of the plan? Green Party Senator Malcolm Noonan saying, look, you haven't climate-proofed this. This is going to lead to more one-off housing, which means more people in cars, urban-generated rural housing, and that's not going to help the climate, at a time when he's saying public transport links are being stalled or being cut. And he's saying you haven't factored that into your planning.
So what I would say to that, being honest, is that there's a fundamental misunderstanding of how rural Ireland operates. We've invested hugely in local rural transport. I know in Kerry there's been a huge expansion. There's been a huge expansion in my own county. You know, there's been €240 million spent between 22 and 25 in terms of new or enhanced routes. And we need to do that. But we also need to live in the real world as well. People do have cars in rural Ireland. They do require to move. And if we've had the existing policy that forces people into larger towns and cities at the expense of living where they are from, only encourages even more car journeys. People coming out to their families, going back into where they're living, out and back constantly. So I think appropriate development that supports people to live within their communities, live in their local areas, support their local town and village, support the GAA club, support the local school, is a positive change. I think it'll be welcomed by the vast majority of people. I'm all about common sense and practical measures since I've come into this role, and I'm going to continue to do that, and I make no apology for it.
Okay, Minister, what about that, the element of that argument, though? One of the solutions to it, and electric vehicles are having a bit of a moment in terms of sales and demand. There's a specific grant scheme which is opening up this morning for 2,000 vehicles, a scrappage scheme with generous grants. So a lot of people are looking for it. At the very same time, the ESB has jacked up its public charging across the country to now make it more expensive for petrol and then petrol and diesel to drive. And also there are questions about the reliability of the network. We already have a very dispersed population. One of the reasons why the network is under pressure is because it's so spread out compared to other European countries, and it's going to cost billions to maintain it and fix it, which is being paid for at the moment by electric car drivers and also customers with high electricity prices. Was that factored into your thinking?
Well, look, the reality is, every local road in this country essentially has electricity lines. What we're going to do is we're going to piggyback off the existing infrastructure that's in place to allow people to be able to build in rural Ireland. We've had a massive expansion in terms of the national broadband plan as well, to be able to bring broadband to every home, and that's still being rolled out across the country. But, you know, in terms of EVs, people, I don't have one myself, but obviously there has been a massive take-up in recent years. I know solar has played an important role in people being able to support their energy use within their own housing, and obviously there's grants in terms of supporting that as well. So I think charging at home and not just relying on the network across the country, even though that is important and will continue to support the rollout of that. I know that people people have taken, you know, that in their own hands as well in terms of providing for their own electricity use.
Okay, Mr. Final point, on a separate issue that came in yesterday as well from your government, the reduction in the VAT rate that was promised in the budget has come into effect, 13.5% down to 9%, helping the hospitality sector, which will be welcomed here in Kerry. It's going to cost $681 million, but there's a lot of criticism that prices will not come down from these companies and from the major ones in particular. And the tarnished, Simon Harris, Minister Peter Burke have said, look, it's unlikely to see prices come down. What's the point of it if it doesn't help get people into the doors? Is this just a transfer of taxpayers' money to hospitality businesses? Some of them very large.
So what I would say, Gerry, is the point of it is to support the very hospitality sector that I know is exceptionally strong in Kerry. It's to support the 180,000 plus jobs that are within the sector, within our cafes, within our restaurants, within our hairdressers, right across the country. It's about providing them with breathing room. Fine Gael campaigned on this in the last general election. It was included in the programme for government, and we're delivering on that today. It was obviously announced in the last budget, but it's about backing jobs, it's about supporting communities, and the vast majority of these enterprises are smaller enterprises. They're the smaller restaurants, coffee shops, hairdressers right across the country. I know all the attention goes to some of the bigger companies here, but the vast majority of these are the people that you and I both know, you know, the local coffee shop that's providing a service. And if they close, it has an impact in terms of the vitality of rural Ireland. So we're supporting them. It's a really positive measure that's been introduced today. And I look forward to having it having a really positive impact across our country.
Okay, Minister, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for taking time to talk to us in the programme this morning. That's Minister John Cummins, there, Minister for Local Government and Planning with this government on those rural guidelines, those draft rural policy guidelines, which will bring in pretty sweeping changes, expecting to be in part of the public consultation process and legislation within maybe a year, year and a half. It's going to take about 3 years for things to change on the ground as a result of it. If you have a view on what he had to say, your view on the plans now that you've seen them, would it encourage you to build on your own land or to move to rural Ireland or stay within your area if you're a younger person? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that this morning. If you have issues with it as well from the other side, then get in touch with us on the program.